Take your Bibles now and go to Psalms, the book of Psalms. Go to the middle of your Bible and you'll probably be there. Psalms chapter 139. Psalms 139, we'll be reading verses 14 through verse 18 this morning. Responsively, I'll read verse 14. You'll join me on verse 15 and so on. Psalms chapter 139, verse number 14. The Bible says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yea, being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! And let's read verse 18 together. I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with thee. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for how every time it's open, Lord, a truth is present, Lord, and how it speaks to our heart. Lord, be with our preacher this morning. Would you fill him with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches? But Lord, may we yield to you as we listen. Lord, would you work in our hearts? Lord, would you teach us something this morning, Lord, that would make us more like you and less like ourselves? Lord, we love you and we thank you. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Here in Psalm 139 is a kind of a gold nugget truth that I want to give you today. There's a word used in Psalm 139 that is very special. It is a word that is used somewhat repetitively throughout Scripture. But I want to show you ladies, you have a diamond on your finger. It's got many different cuts on it. It's called facets. And however the light strikes that, it turns it different colors and it sparkles different ways. And today we're going to look through God's jewelry looking piece and look at a truth today, and you're going to see something in it you haven't seen before. I want you to notice in Psalm 139, verse number 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. The word we're going to talk about today is the word precious. Things that are precious to God. Notice it says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. You see, I get to, as my son would say, I hear him say it often. He'd say, Dad, have I told you? I love my job. Can I tell you something? I love my job. Part of my job is I get to do things that most people don't get to do. Joe and Ashley, they're homesick today. Joe made everybody sick. But they're homesick, but they're expecting another baby. Well, when the babies are born, my wife and I get to go to the hospital and I get to hold the newborn babies. There's little ones in our church. I held them the day they were born. And there's nothing as precious as a newborn baby. Ugly, good night, ugly as a prune, all right? But they're precious. You say, oh, it looks like its father. If I look like that, No. I love to hear as I stand at the door in the mornings and on Sunday mornings, and our bus kids and families get off the bus. And the little ones will run up and say, Preacher, I love you. I love watching some of our drive-in crowd kids. They'll come in as Chris's grandkids came in this morning and gave me a little gift. And they said, I love you, Preacher. Whew. Now, you can say what you want, but that's pretty precious. The word precious is an interesting word. It literally means valuable. It means to make something rare. It means prized or costly, beloved, esteemed, or honorable. Now, I want you to listen to me today. Some of you young people, this may sound a little bit odd to you, but trust me, you're going to need it. The word precious is a very intimate word. It's not to be used just flippantly. It's not a word to be used for adorable or cute. Just because something is cute doesn't mean that it's precious. Just because something is adoring to you does not mean that it is precious. Something that is valuable, something that is rare, something that is of high value. Just because something makes you feel warm and squishy doesn't mean it's precious. I've stepped in some things in the field that were warm and squishy. It was not precious. God wrote the Bible, not man.
That's right.
I hold in my hands the only book God ever wrote.
Yes, sir.
It is the King James Bible. Now, there are other languages that have it, but for the English-speaking people, it is the King James Bible.
That's right.
Now, God chose every word on purpose.
Yes.
Everybody listen to me very carefully. You say, preacher, why do you put such a big stand and such a big emphasis on the King James Bible? Because any other one is written by man and it is not precious to God. God is very capable of saying what he wanted to say. You don't need to rewrite God's words. You just need to reread and redo them. You see, God is able to say what he once said. He was able to speak all of creation into existence. I imagine if God could say, let there be light, and behold, there was light, he has the ability to communicate in his word to me what he once said. If God could create the universe with just his words, I think God's smart enough to get it down to where we live. Now, God tells us several things in the scripture that he says are precious to him. Now, we could list many things that would be precious to us, but may I say this, those would pale in comparison to what is precious to God. I think if we could learn what is precious to God, watch this, we would have a better understanding of God. I want to help you today. Number one, I have seven things I'm going to give you this morning. Don't worry, we're going to go through them, but you're going to need your Bibles. All right? Number one, God says that his thoughts unto us are precious. Look at Psalm 139 again, verse number 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Did you know God thinks about you? Did you know that God has thoughts that he would like to share with you? This week I got to spend about between 5 and 6 hours one-on-one with Brother Fugit. And Brother Fugit and I have been friends for good night, probably at least 25 years. But we don't get to spend much time together. We really don't. I may see him at a conference somewhere, howdy him, talk to him for a moment, might see him while I'm at the college or something for a moment, spend a few moments with him. He may call me or I him with questions here and there from time to time, but we really don't get a lot of time together. Man, we had time.
Praise the Lord.
Brother Mike, I'm going to say something here that I've never said in public. That man probed me deeper than anybody since Brother Hiles. We spent, at one point in time, we pulled up after lunch on Tuesday. We'd spent the time going to the restaurant, time at the restaurant, time driving back was just he and I. And then I pulled up in front of the hotel and we sat under the canopy for another 45 minutes. He's got his phone out just clicking through question after question after question he had prepared. I'll be honest with you, it was like, okay, Here we go. Another round. He was probing deep. And we talked very deep and very intimately. He made a statement to me as he got out of my car on Tuesday afternoon. He said, "Brother Bush, I feel like you and I have a kindred spirit." He said, "I finally found somebody that thinks the right way." I was humbled. I was reading in my Bible yesterday and came across 1 Samuel 18:1, where it talked about the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And about 6 o'clock yesterday morning, I shot him a text with that verse on it. And I said, I read this and I thought of this week and the time we had together. And I feel like God knit our souls. And within moments, there was a text back that said, "I feel the same way, my dear friend. I feel the same way." Oh. Can I tell you something? We enjoyed talking about some things. We enjoyed talking about things that many preachers don't enjoy talking about. You say, why? Because we weren't criticizing anybody. We weren't talking down somebody. We weren't trying to tear somebody down so we could build ourselves up. We were just talking about the Bible and memories and history and time with Brother Hiles and other things. You see, the Bible says God will share his thoughts unto us. Can I tell you where God does that? Right there. You know, if you spend enough time with God, watch this, he'll start revealing his thoughts to you through his words. I hear people say, "Preacher, where did you get that? I've read that many times. Where did you get that?" God whispered in my ear via the Holy Spirit while I was reading his word. And he'd say, "Let me share something with you." You know, I love it when God shares something with me. Oh, I enjoyed time with Brother Fugit this week, but don't take this the wrong way. 10 to 1, I'd rather spend time with God. Amen. God doesn't have new revelations. He just reveals what's in the first one he gave us. There are no revelations there. He just opens it up and says, "Let me show you something on the other side of that. Let me show you something about this." And that's exactly what God does. Can I tell you something? God says that his thoughts unto us are precious. Let me ask you a question. Is reading the Bible a chore to you? Is spending time with God a chore to you, or is it precious? Number two. God says, are you ready? This is real deep. You ready? The Bible is precious to God. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 126, just a few pages back. Psalm 126, verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, watch this, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with the rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Folks, that precious seed, the Bible calls the Bible the seed. It is the word of God. Let me read one other verse to you. I'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. You need not turn there because I'll be there before you will. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. The word of the Lord was precious. See, God was speaking the words of God verbally in those days so that man could put it on paper. Now we have those words that God spoke to man on paper. And God says that his words are precious. Let me make a statement to you. It may be more profound than you catch, but I'll make it anyway. God is only as perfect as his word. And because God is perfect, we therefore have a perfect word of God. God is only as perfect as his word. These people that get up and say, "Well, the Bible's preserved, but it's not inspired," they're heretics. Well, it was only inspired in the original writings. No, that's Shakespeare. If God is able to inspire, that means God breathed. These are the living words of God. If they're not inspired now, they're dead. They're expired. If they're not inspired, they're expired. Guess what? The word of God didn't come with an expiration date.
Amen.
It is still inspired. It is still precious, and it is as perfect as God is. God does not work outside of his word. Everybody listen to this very carefully. When somebody says, well, preacher, God revealed to me that I'm so... I always say, book, chapter, and verse. Show me from this book what God said. Well, it was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God, and he can't work outside of the word of God. He has to work within the confines of the scripture, or God's a liar. Everybody doing okay? Did you know that God's not going to break his word for anybody? God doesn't care what your last name is. He's going to hold true to the word of God. God doesn't care if the name is Clinton or Trump. He'll hold true to the word of God. Everybody doing okay? Let God be true and every man a liar. By the way, I thank God for a saved president.
Yes, sir.
And just so you know, President Trump is a saved man. I talked with the man who sat with the president just a few weeks ago. He greeted the president on behalf of the state of Kentucky and the preachers all over America. And the president looked at him and said, I know who you are. He looked at his secret servant and he said, get the man of God in the limo. I want to talk to you. He said, excuse me? He said, get in the limo. He got to spend many hours with the president. He said, he gave me his ear. And he said, "What?" He talked to me for a moment. He said, Pastor, he said, man of God, what would you like to ask me? He said, Brother Bush, I did it. He said, Mr. President, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And the President of the United States began to tell the story of who ran through the scriptures with him, and he made sure that he was saved. He said, Pastor, I knew you were one of those kind of pastors. He said, I only wished it was you that done it, not this other fella. Our president is a saved man. Let me ask you a question. Have you prayed for him? Or do you believe what the press says? There's a difference between P-R-A-Y and P-R-E-Y. The press prays upon him. We ought to pray for him.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay? Can I tell you something? You say, well, he was a pretty bad sinner. God specializes in saving sinners.
Yes, sir.
Hey, look, in your past, you weren't so good either. Just so you know. But guess what? Just because somebody gets saved, God doesn't stop the effect of sin. You say, well, that's not fair, preacher. God didn't sin, you did. We're all sinners. Bad things happen to good people. Can I tell you something? Bad things happen to bad people. Good things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. See, you want to play God and decide who should be good and who should be bad. God doesn't do that. So God says his word is precious and it should be precious to us. Can I tell you something? I think that you ought to carry a copy of the word of God when you come to church. But I think you ought to open it and read it 7 days a week. Even if you just read one verse, it's good enough. I'm not saying you have to read through the Bible every year. I think you ought to at some point in time in your life. But just because you don't read through it in a year doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. But you ought to read something God wrote to you every day. Boy, that's a good statement. Can I tell you something? I loved it. Mrs. K bought her granddaughter and grandson new Bibles this week, her and Kevin. She's teaching them to respect the man of God. She said, "Preacher, you need to sign their Bibles." Then they asked Brother Josh to sign it, but she made sure that the preacher's signature was the first one. Oh, that's humbling. My knees get weak when that happens. Can I tell you why? I'm just an old stinking sinner like everybody else. I'm not worthy of it. But I thank God for it. I thank God for it because you say why? Because this book means something to me. It's precious. Uh-oh, somebody owes me a pizza. Thank you, Chris. Actually, it was Juan. Number three, I got to share this with you. I'm excited about this. Is that clock right? Well, praise the Lord. I got more time preaching than I thought. Number three, I want you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 116. This is where some of you are going to get a little perturbed at me, but that's okay. At least I know you'll be listening. Psalm 116, I want to show you a verse here. This isn't going to sound right to you, but it sounds right to God. Psalm 116, verse number 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord, watch this, is the death of his saints. God says that the death of a saved person is precious. Brother Mike, your heart's hurting. Your brother's going on to heaven. Can I tell you something? It was precious to God. Yes. Oh, it hurts us. But can I tell you something? Death is precious to God. To the saved person, death is precious, meaningful, valuable, prized. Some of you have never gotten over the death of someone who is saved and you're bitter at God. Why are you holding it against God? Wasn't God's fault. They were sinners. But watch this. Are you ready? We view death of the saved people too much like lost people. We think life is ended. No, it's just getting started. When a saved person dies, folks, life's just getting started. We put way too much value on our flesh. And when we get mad at God for taking, and God doesn't take it, when it happens as a result of sin, when someone dies, we say to God, "Well, that's not fair. They were good people. How come you couldn't take somebody that was bad?" He didn't take them. Sin did. Please don't get mad at me. But I'm talking about the millions of babies that were taken by abortion. God says that's precious to him. He doesn't want them aborted. That's not what he wanted. Those of you ladies that have lost a child to miscarriage, it's rough on you, but it was precious to God. Not what you go through, but the death of that child was precious to him. I've used this story before, but it's true. Had a couple in our Sunday school class while we were in Indiana. I won't use their name. They had a child about 4 or 5 months old and went to the nursery one morning, and the child had SIDS and passed away through the night. Tragic. Took part in the funeral. Just a little, looked like a little igloo cooler size casket. Literally could sit on top of my pulpit here. Oh, not many months later, they had another child. About a year and a half later, Mama was at her mom's house and set the baby down at a garage sale and on the bed, and she went out, came back in to check on the baby, and the baby had rolled over and got stuck between the dresser and the bed, hung there like this. They rushed the baby to the hospital and life-flighted it to the University of Chicago Hospital. The second time in 2 years, they've lost a child, Brother Mike. Brother Barnes, the nurses said, look, it's been long enough. We need to get that baby and take it to do the autopsy and things. They said, Pastor, can you get the child? He said, I can. Brother Sam, I had to look at that mama and that daddy and say, I need to take the baby. They need to take it now. You tell that little body, you'll see that child's life again someday. Reach into that mama's arms and take her dead baby out of her arms and give it to a nurse to take away. I don't know if you know how hard that is. I walked out thinking, just doesn't make sense, God. God said, Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. My wife and I walked into the funeral home a couple days later. There sits another tiny, tiny casket. There's that couple halfway back the aisle, greeting everybody with a smile on their face. Brother Larry, that little mama walked up and I said, is there anything I can do? With tears down her cheeks, she looked at me. She said, Brother Bush, it's okay. God loves my babies because he got two of them. He gets to raise them instead of me, but it's okay. You talk about the grace of God kicking in. I had to find me a door to get out of there. You say, do you understand it? No. You know, there's not one verse in this whole Bible where it says that we're supposed to understand God. There is not one verse in there that says, understand me. He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. My thoughts, my ways are above your thoughts and ways. How dare you get mad at God for that? God says that those deaths are precious.
Yes, sir.
They are precious to God. Brother Mike, I know you loved your brother. I know your brother had some rough days. But he's not going to have another rough one. Whew. It's all okay. You see, they're not going to face sin and failure and the consequences of sin anymore. God calls the death of the Christian precious. Why do so many people hold it against God? Why do you hold it against God? Because you think God took somebody. God didn't take them. Sin did. You're getting mad at God when you ought to be getting mad at the stinking devil. Number four. God says that salvation is precious. Turn to Psalm 49. Psalm 49. I just want to praise God for a while. Amen. Psalm 49, verse number 8. Some of you ought to read this, that when you come to church, you wouldn't look so scowly. Psalm 49, verse 8. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. God says salvation is precious. The redemption of their soul. Can I tell you something? Bless God, when I got up this morning, Brother Randy, my sins are still washed away. My name's written in heaven, and if I keel over dead with a heart attack right now, kick me off the side, let him tag team it, and I'm in heaven. Before my heart stops, I'll be playing tag with the angels. Don't you worry about it. It'll be all right. Can I tell you something? I thank God I'm saved. I thank God I don't have to die and go to hell someday. I thank God that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I did it when I was 4.5 years old. You say, well, did you really mean it with all your heart? Guess what? I didn't have to mean it with all my heart. Guess what? Man has said you need to mean it with all your heart. Jesus said, just trust me. Just trust me. Yes. Obey. Realize you're a sinner on your way to hell, needing a Savior, and that Jesus was that Savior, that perfect gift, that perfect sacrifice, and trust Him to take you there. Guess what? When you first get saved, you don't know what all your heart is. Isn't it amazing? It's the older crowd that says you got to believe like I believe now to get it. Everybody doing okay? Did you mean it? Did you trust Him with all your heart? Guess what? If you did it enough just to trust Him, that's all it took. Good night. I bought a ticket to fly to Peoria, Illinois a couple months ago. Did I mean it with all my heart? Don't know, but I got on the plane, made the trip. There was times I really didn't want to go. But guess what? Ticket was paid for. I got on the plane. I made it there, and I made it back. Guess what? You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're on your way to heaven. Like it or lump it. Nah, 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 nah. They didn't ask my mom and dad after I was born, did you really mean it? And I'm glad they didn't, because I would have been somebody else's child. There's been many a time I've heard my father say, brought you into this room, I'll take you out. Can I tell you something? Once you get born again, you get the genetics of God in your life, you can't be unborn. You can change your name legally, but guess what? You can't change your DNA. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun right now. Did you know that salvation is precious to God? He gave His own life for it. He gave His own blood for it. He paid salvation's price. And when somebody gets saved, it makes God happy. Say, what could I do to give God a good day? Take the gospel to somebody. I love it. Had a Sunday school teacher come to me after Sunday school. Preacher, we had two saved in Sunday school today. I'm thinking, man, God's having a party already, and we haven't even gotten to the main course yet. We got through the appetizers, and God's already partying. Can I tell you something? When somebody gets saved, that's victory over the devil. That's one more that doesn't go to the devil, and God's able to say, nah, 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 nah. God calls salvation precious. I'm not going to look at you when I say this. Why do so many Christians want to live like a lost person on their way to hell? Young people, listen to me. The devil's crowd doesn't have the fun. They're on their way to hell. They can temporarily enjoy life, but they're not having fun. Why do we want to live like the lost world? Why do we want to live like somebody headed for hell when we've had the price of salvation paid for us? Everybody look this way. If you just learned to live like a Christian, you'd find out how fun it really is. Yes. Good night. You walked in here Monday night. It was crazy. Brother Fugit stood and talked to people as they left, came to my office, wanted to talk to me again for a while. 45 minutes after church was over, he walked out and he said, preacher, you still got a house full of folk here. I said, it's okay. They know. Turn the lights out. The door's locked. I said, it's that way every service. He said, you're kidding. They said, no, wait till tomorrow night. Hour after the church service, there's still people here, people in the parking lot, still talking. You say, why is that? Because we have found out the family of God's important.
Yes.
Amen. Boy, that's good stuff. Can I tell you something? Don't ever get over being saved.
Right.
If you got saved like Brother Mike at 20, how many years old? 27 years old, commode hugging drunk, as he would say. Not me, he does. Borrowing his terminology, he trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. What an act of grace.
Yes.
Brother Mike's heard me say this, and he didn't agree with it for a while, but he's come to find out. Guess what? It took more grace probably to save a 4.5-year-old boy than it did a 26-year-old, 27-year-old commode hugging drunk.
Right.
I could have done everything he did, but God kept me from it. Thank God I haven't smoked, haven't drank liquor, haven't done drugs. Unless it was because of a kidney stone ordered by the doctor to relieve the pain. Then bring it on. Just bring it on. Cut the pain. I don't care. Cut my head off. I don't care. But just get it over with. After 10 kidney stones, you learn the routine. Amen? Can I tell you something? I thank God I never had to go through all that. Sometimes it takes more grace to save you when you're young than it does when you're old and you've messed up your whole life. That's why bringing these kids in on the bus and bringing boys and girls to come to church to get saved, it's important. It's important that they hear the gospel from birth on. You say why? To possibly keep them from that kind of lifestyle. So God says that salvation is precious. Number 5. I love this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 15. Let me read it to you. Some of you may not get there in time. Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. God says that wisdom is precious. Can I tell you something? Everybody look at me for a moment. These old eyes, as we see life through our own eyes, isn't as good as when you start seeing through God's eyes. Wisdom is being able to see life as God sees it. You teenagers, look at me for a moment. You think you got the world figured out. Guess what? You don't know anything yet. It's not because you're dumb. You just haven't lived enough life to know what to know. You've never paid bills. You've never gotten a loan. You've never had to pay it off. You've never, some of you haven't driven. Some of you know how to drive people crazy. But you haven't had to do the things of an adult. And can I tell you something? Adult living isn't as easy as we make it look. You've never purchased a home. You haven't had to run quarter-million-a-year budgets. You haven't had to do any of those things, and you think you know it all? You can go to McDonald's and you can put french fries in a basket and put it down in the grease and push a button and wait for it to go beep, 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 beep and pick it out, and you know how to run McDonald's. But you don't know the first thing about it. Everybody doing all right? And yet there are people that can push the french fry button and let it go beep, 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 think they need $15 an hour to live. And want to protest because it's not fair that the people higher up make more money than I make. They don't even know where the french fry came from that they put in the oil or the machine and the people that made the machine to make the machine go beep, beep, beep. But they were worth $15 an hour. Everybody doing, man, I'm having fun right now. You see, when we begin to see life as God sees it, and not like we humans see it, it becomes great for God. Brother Fugit and I have been friendly and friends for years. When he began to see that I view many things that he views as he views them, there was a loneliness in his heart that was relieved, and he had a kindred spirit, and it became more enjoyable for him. And me. I've told my son, I think I'm about the only one that thinks this way. And then I found somebody that thinks like I think. Haven't had that in a long time. Everybody doing all right? We become less likely to live foolishly if we'll live wisely. Did you know that a fool can't live wisely? Once you begin living wisely, you give up foolishness. You have to leave foolishness to become wise. By the way, a fool cannot lead someone who is wise because a wise person won't hang around foolishness. I made a statement to Brother Fugit this week, and he was mentioning, I said, they can only lead scorners and other foolish people because they're a fool. And he looked at me. I said, a wise person won't hang around that. He tapped me on the shoulder. He said, I like how you think, brother. He said, that's biblical. I said, yes, it is. I said, a fool can only lead somebody who's a scorner or somebody who's simple or another fool. I said, and when two fools get together, eventually they'll shoot each other. And I said, you and I have lived long enough to see the two fools that shot each other. He started laughing. He said, that's putting it down where the peanut butter's at. I said, opened the lid and smeared it all over, didn't I? He said, dead right. I said, yes, sir. That's why I don't hang around that mess. Everybody doing okay? He said, preacher, are you lonely? How can I be lonely? I've got God and I've got this church. How could I ever be lonely? If I'm looking for attention in somebody else, I'm looking in the wrong place. Did you know you give God a better name when you live like he wants you to live? You've all heard this. Well, I thought you were a Christian. How come you're acting this way? Now, sometimes that's a fool just blowing their, I'd say brains, but they don't have any to blow. They're just running their mouth. But sometimes there's validity to it. Isn't it amazing that the lost world knows how we're supposed to live? God calls wisdom precious. How come we don't seek for it more? How come we don't long to be wise? How come we run from wisdom rather than run to wisdom? I've got to hurry. Number 6. Oh, my soul. Turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1. Right after the book of Hebrews and James. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Watch this. God says that our faith is precious. He also said that the trying of our faith is precious. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Just a couple pages over. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? God says that faith is precious. Did you know that standing for the faith is precious? Folks, you're going to get tired of this preacher saying you're saved by grace through faith and that alone. But you better be glad you got a preacher that believes that.
Yes, sir.
When somebody starts fiddling with salvation, they're fiddling with the faith.
Right.
And when you fiddle with the faith, you're fiddling with God.
Amen.
You see, God has given to every man the measure of faith. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. Then it says in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. That what? And that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Stand up, son. Did you know that my son, Joshua Bush, didn't have enough faith to get saved before he got saved? Of his own. But God put inside every human being enough faith to get saved. Just enough. In the moment he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, that like precious faith was born again of the seed of God by the Holy Ghost, and the faith then was able to grow into what you have today. A big pile of ugly. No, thank you. Be seated. Did you know that God put into you, 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 and every human being has the same amount of faith necessary to get saved?
Yes, sir.
That is the gift of God.
Amen.
That means any human being who hears the gospel, God can and will be able to work through that to get them saved if they want to be saved. I was on an airplane going from Chicago to Kansas City one day. I was on a flight, and they said, folks, this plane is going to be full. I was on the aisle seat. The guy up against the window was already slobbering on the window shade, sleeping. And the middle seat was open. They said, we're waiting on one passenger. And I thought, well, there's one seat here. And I had prayed for a couple weeks that God would put me beside somebody to give the gospel to. Miss Kim, this little girl, lady, starts walking down the aisle, and she's got a red dot right there on her forehead. I thought, uh-oh. I know what that means. And I'll bet you this is the only seat available. And she came over, and she was about that tall and about 60 pounds. Full-grown lady. Well, she was a adult lady, but she wasn't full-grown. She's dragging this bag, and I grabbed her bag. I put it up for her, and I let her get in, sit down. And I got in, sat down, opened up my Bible, and started working. And they said we were backed up a little bit, so I pulled the tray down, had my Bible open, and I'm working away on a sermon. She leans over. She said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. Are you? She said, oh, no, I'm Hindu from India. I said, okay. I went back to writing, working on a sermon. She said, what you doing? Well, that's like saying, sick him to a bulldog. I said, I'm getting ready to go to Kansas City, and I'm preaching for the next day or so and flying back. And I said, I'm a preacher. She said, what you going to preach when you're there? Mm-hmm. Now it's like a blind dog in a meat house. Here we go. Well, by that time, it's time to push the trays in their upright position. I pulled my Bible down. I opened it up. And she said, is that a Bible? I said, it is. I began to discuss with her who Jesus Christ was. I opened up, talked about Jesus for a little bit, and then I went down the Romans Road, Brother Mike. And I watched that little Hindu girl about 33,000 feet in the air bow her head and trust Jesus Christ as her Savior, tears dripping onto the pages of my Bible.
Yes.
And she went, I said, what's the matter? She said, is this what I've been looking for my whole life? I said, what do you mean? She said, I grew up in a little village in India. She said, every day, every evening of my life for many years, as a teenager and young adult, I'd walk to the edge of our little village with just mud and straw huts. And I would look up and say, there's got to be something else out there. I'd like to find it. She said, every day for years, I've done that. She said, sir, I didn't find out till 10 o'clock last night I was going to be taking this trip. I went to the airport and my company paid for a ticket through the night. I picked it up and got on this flight. Somebody else was supposed to go. She said, I'm flying down today and flying back this evening, not even staying the day down there, but is this what I have been looking for? I said, you found it. You found it. She said, I really did. I said, yes, you did. I found out where she was in the Chicago area, and I got her address and sent a church after her to follow up on her. Don't know what the results have been. We got out at Kansas City Airport, and this is years ago. If you had ever been to Kansas City, 20 years ago or so, there's only two baggage claim circle things there. But it gets real packed full of people there. The preacher had met me. I grabbed my bag. I was walking across and probably was a little farther than the distance of this auditorium away, and I heard this, "Hey, Reverend! Hey, Reverend!" I turned around, and she said, "If I don't see you again here, I'll see you in heaven someday." That little girl had the gift of faith given to her by her God. She knew what she had was not enough, and God led her through a progression of life to get to the point where somebody would open the Bible and show her how to get to heaven. God given to every man the measure of faith. What a gift. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. You want to make God happy, live by faith. According to Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 16, we have the shield of faith, which is the word of God. God has given us a shield, which is the word of God. And by the way, the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, the faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit or a fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. God calls faith precious. And lastly, and I'm done, 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 19. The Bible says this, and I'm about to have a spell, Brother Mike. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot, the very blood of Jesus Christ is precious." It is the complete payment for our sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can I tell you something? That according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 22, that the blood of Jesus Christ sits in heaven, in the tabernacle in heaven, on the mercy seat of heaven. I personally feel that's the throne of God. I can't prove that, wouldn't separate with you over it, but I believe that is the throne of God. And I believe when Jesus hung at Calvary's cross, shed his blood and died, 3 days and three nights later, he conquered death. He grabbed the keys of death and hell, and he came back for a moment and saw Mary, and she finally realized who it was, and she said, "Rabboni," and went to hug him. He said, "Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to the Father." Yes. See, he died as our lamb, but he resurrected as our high priest. And once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and put the blood on the mercy seat. Watch this. He said, "Don't touch me." He said, "You go tell the disciples to meet me and I'll eat with you in the upper room." He left earth and went to heaven. He went into the holy place. He went into the Holy of Holies. He took the open wounds in his hand and his side and his feet, and he put the blood on the mercy seat in heaven. You cannot lose your salvation. You'd have to wipe the blood off the mercy seat. He paid for it in full. He was the final sacrifice. He wasn't a sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. He was the one and only living sacrifice. But he was also the high priest who put it on the mercy seat for our eternal salvation. And the blood of Jesus is important. Quit listening to the heretic, Mr. John MacArthur out of California, that said it's the death of Jesus, not the blood of Jesus, that's important. That's a heretic. Just so you know. That's the guy who believes you can take the Lord's Supper with potato chips and pop. It doesn't matter. It's just symbolism. Well, hate to tell you, but if you believe that it was just the death of Jesus, that's Catholic. Did you know the Pope said this week that Jesus was a failure because he died at Calvary? And the Pope is a heretic.
Yes, sir. That's right.
The Pope is the vicar of hell. Without the shed blood and the death, the burial, and resurrection, there is no remission of sin.
That's right.
And Jesus was not a failure. The Pope is a failure.
That's
right. Everybody doing okay? Say, you shouldn't name names, preacher. Hey, anybody talks like that, I'll name their name. That's wicked as the devil himself.
Right.
Oh, by the way, that's why God will use the Catholic Church to bring in the Antichrist. You see, it is not just the blood of Jesus, it's the precious blood of Jesus. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7 says this, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Brother Mike, your brother was a sinner. But I'm a sinner. We know that Brother Barnes is a sinner. Can I tell you something? That same blood that washed us washed your brother, and he's in heaven today.
Amen.
My preacher, Brother Hiles, is in heaven. He was a sinner. Proof he was a sinner, he died. February 6, 2001. Been in heaven 18 and a half years. He was a sinner. Guess what? He's washed in the blood. You see, it's not works that save. That blood purchased the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. He said that he purchased the church with his own blood. Now watch this. That's why our church shouldn't be like the world. It was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. We ought to do it the way God said do it.
Amen.
We are not to pattern our church after the world. We're to pattern after God. We're to do it as though he paid for it. Guess what? If somebody bought you a brand new car, they said, as all you have to do is follow the instructions. Guess what? I think you'd follow the instructions. See, well, it's got my name on the title. It may have your name on the title, but it was paid for by somebody else. And you owe it out of respect. Listen to me. You owe it out of respect to do what the one who purchased it said. It's not yours to use your way. There are things in life that are precious to us. Today I gave you seven things that are precious to God. God said there are seven things precious to him: his thoughts unto us, the Bible, the death of his saints, the salvation, wisdom, faith, and his blood are precious. Can I tell you something? How about we start making it precious to us? How about we live the Christian life in such a way to where these things are precious to us? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere within the confines of that sermon was something I needed today? Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Virtually every hand, you may put them down. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you need to use this old-fashioned altar, you come today. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of that. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and you'd like to join our church, we'd love to have you come join the church today.